Consequence Podcast Network.
This is Brittany Slays, and you're listening to Beyond the Boys Club on Consequence.
I have to say that I love a good concept record, and I feel like a lot of bands are intimidated maybe by the idea of doing a concept record, which totally makes sense because it's hard to pull off, and if you don't do a good job with it, it can be really bad. It can just be a not good thing. But when someone does an awesome concept record, I love it. I think it's really hard to beat. And the new record from Unleash the Archers out of Canada, great Canadian power metal band. They've got Fantoma, which is just an awesome concept record. And they're known for doing concept records, but I feel like they're getting better and better at it as the years go on. And their lead vocalist, Brittany Slays, is awesome. She's just a great chick. I've interviewed her before, and she's smart. She's down to earth. She always has something really good to talk about when it comes to the music world. And yes, yeah, so I'm definitely stoked to have Brittany on the show. Zane Erickson, and you're on Beyond the Boys Club on Consequence. If you don't subscribe to the podcast yet, you're in trouble with me. Do it right now. Just search for it wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're on Apple, leave a 5-star review. Thanks for your awesome support. All right, we'll be right back with Brittany from Unleash the Archers.
Hi, I'm Mijon Zulu, lead podcast producer at Consequence. And we're excited to announce the Consequence Uncut Annual Report podcast exclusively on Amazon Music. As we wrap up 2024, the pop culture experts at Consequence are back to celebrate all the year's best in music and entertainment. This year, we'll be giving fans inside access to interviews with the biggest artists, actors, and filmmakers of the past 12 months. Plus, discussions with the Consequence team about our best of the year lists, all as part of the Consequence Uncut Annual Report podcast. And you can only hear it on Amazon Music. What's more, new subscribers can get 3 months free of Amazon Music Unlimited, which now includes access to Audible's catalog of over 1 million audiobooks with one free book a month. Sign up at tryamazonmusic.com/COS and catch all our annual report content at consequence.net. Again, that's tryamazonmusic.com/COS for 3 full months of Amazon Music Unlimited and consequence.net for our full annual report.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hello, I'm Kristen Meinzer, host of Health Matters, a Mayo Clinic podcast investigating topics big,
the influence of gravity,
and small,
brain-eating amoeba.
We talk about our health, bodies, and the world around us.
Get off the toilet, you're going to have hemorrhoids.
So join me in conversation with some Mayo Clinic experts as we strive for happier, healthier lives. Mayo Clinic's Health Matters, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.
Brittany Slays from Unleash the Archers. It's awesome to have you on. And I have to say that that's the coolest name I've ever heard. How did you come up with that?
It's actually a play on my last name, which is Hayes. And it was just a long time ago, a friend of mine commented on a video that I posted on Facebook. He was like, Brittany Hayes? More like Brittany Slays. And I was like, oh, yoink, I'll take that. So, yeah.
That's so great. Yeah, I always wonder how people come up with their stage names. So I love the fact that yours is actually tied to your real name.
Yeah, no, it was nice to kind of have an alternate persona that I could use for, you know, for this side of my life and keep it separate from, because, you know, I still have a day job and all that sort of stuff. So it's nice to be, you know, Brittany Hayes here and Brittany Slays over here.
Yeah. Great. So before we get into the new record, which is awesome, by the way, I would love to hear more about how you first got into music, like when you were a kid.
I mean, music is a huge part of my family. Both my grandparents were singers on my mom's side, and my dad played in a band for years when he was young. And that's actually how my parents met. My mom went to the bar and my dad was playing in the band that was playing there that night. So She was kind of like, oh, who's this cutie on the bass behind the mic? And he did that for a while when they first were together. And then, of course, you know, they had kids, which is not easy to continue that lifestyle with. So he stopped playing music, but it's always been a part of our family for sure. And my brother was always getting new records and bringing them home and that kind of thing. And so I was always listening to music, but heavy metal came around when, I'm not sure if you remember this or if the listeners remember Columbia House, which is where like a mail order program where you could order from a catalog and then the CDs would just be shipped right to you. So we used to do that back actually when it was tapes, and my brother got the Megadeth record Countdown to Extinction, and he was like, this is pretty good, you might like it. And he, you know, gave it to me and I put it on my little boombox thing that I had and absolutely loved it. Like, loved it. Symphony of Destruction was just like an eye opener for me. And I was like, oh my God, I think I'm a metalhead. And I was like 8 years old at the time. So just trying to find other heavy music was a little difficult, but just kind of loved it since then. And I'd been singing in choir and stuff for years by that time. And it was just sort of, you know, this side of me that was like, oh, I love music, but I think I love heavy music. So it kind of just took off from there.
Wow. Have you ever gotten to tell the guys of Megadeth, like how much that record means to you, like Dave Mustaine or anything?
No, I don't.
No. You should. Yeah. You guys are big enough. Oh my gosh.
I'm slipping to his DMs.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right.
They should take you on tour. That'd be a great tour.
Oh man, that would be amazing. Yeah, that would be quite the opportunity. But I don't know. They have no idea who we are. So niche power metal band from Canada. Yeah, I don't think we're on their radar, unfortunately.
Maybe not. We're going to get you guys on the radar. That's my goal here with this show.
Thank you.
So were your parents supportive of you doing music professionally and in the metal and stuff?
Yeah. They've always been really, they love it. And my mom was kind of like, why do your music videos always have to be about death? And I was just like, I don't know. That's kind of just the genre. But other than that, yeah, she's super supportive and they listen to the record. And my dad loves watching the reaction videos. So for all of you reactors out there, my dad is watching. And they've always been really great. I was in musical theater and choir and, you know, I was doing a lot of theater stuff when I was younger. And they love doing that, like being a part of all that as well. They would always come to my shows and everything. So it's just kind of a progression for them of, it's like, okay, we used to go to plays and then in choir concerts, and now we just go to metal shows. So
that's great. Mm-hmm. So who were some of your other musical influences besides Megadeth? Were there any women in particular that you listened to early on?
Yeah. I mean, for me, mostly when I was kind of learning how to sing the way I wanted to in a metal band, because, you know, coming from chamber music to singing heavy metal was a bit of a learning curve. So it was mostly like Bruce Dickinson, Rob Halford, a little bit of Danzig, Jeff Tate from Queensryche, the singer for Lost Horizon. Like, it was all kind of guys, and I just wanted to do what they did, you know, because I'd been singing this beautiful classical chamber music my whole life. So, but then I discovered Ida Hawkland, and now I can't remember the name of her band, but she's got this kind of like roughness to her voice that I really loved. And so I was listening to them a lot. And Huntress, of course, Jill was a huge influence because she's just...
Oh, it was such a loss. I was so like shocked. Yeah,
I know. Yeah. And like we had finally just started talking and communicating and kind of like starting a friendship, because I had reached out to her and I was just like, you know, got any tips to get noticed kind of a thing way back in the day. And she was like, yeah, you know, just, you know, blah, 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 some tips or whatever. And then we just kind of started back and forth talking. And so it was really upsetting when that happened. I was just like, oh crap, you know, she seemed so all right. And so that was really devastating. But she was like, I just loved how focused she was and the fact that, you know, she knew exactly what every record was going to be about before it was even written. And she had this whole plan, and it was like this, you know, like, this is so Joe. It's like the phases of the moon. She just had it all, you know, it was all set out. And so I just loved that about her. And her voice, of course, is incredible. And she was just take no prisoners kind of attitude. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And for those listening who don't know, she committed suicide several years ago. And yeah, it shocked me. I met her at a, what concert was that? I think it was a Mayhem Festival. And she's stunningly beautiful, you know, and then like super talented. And yeah, I didn't know her personally or anything, but I was shocked when I heard that news. And they were such an underrated band too. Like, I think they could have become a lot bigger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Well, on to a better, a happier topic, let's call it that. Your new record, which is a concept record, which is so cool. I love concept albums, and I feel like people don't do them enough. So what inspired you to do a concept album?
We actually first started doing concept records back in 2011, and Demons of the Astral Waste was a concept record, but it was not very good. It was like my first...
Oh, come on. It was good.
Thank you. But it was my first time trying that, and it was kind of a disorganized thing. Brayden would just be like, I got this cool riff. What do you want to do with this? And I'd be like, oh, you know, that sounds kind of like a battle riff. I was like, let's make a battle happen in the album, you know? And so I just kind of was writing the story around the music. And I just didn't like, it wasn't as a cohesive enough process for me. So when we started writing our 2017 record, Apex, I was like, okay, you guys, this is going to be a concept record. It's going to be two albums, Apex and Abyss, and the story is going to continue through both of them, and this is what's happening in the story. And I kind of did this whole outline for the record for them, track by track, being like, okay, this is track one, chapter one, this is what's happening, this is how I want the listener to feel, this is the tone, this is the emotion, you know what I mean? I just really laid it out for them, and then the boys wrote their riffs around it. So yeah, it was pretty good for Apex. So we were like, okay, yeah, let's do this again on Abyss. And then, you know, by the time Phantoma came around, I was like, here you go, you know, like write your riffs, bring them back, let me see what you got, kind of a thing. It was just old hat for us. So yeah, it's just kind of become the process, and I really love doing it that way. I think that the album comes out, you know, as a more of a soundscape than just kind of a plunking a bunch of songs on there. And we write together really well that way. We are all kind of moving in the same direction. We all know what we're focusing on, what we want the overall tone of the record to be. And it just keeps us kind of united on the writing front. And yeah, so it's just kind of been like really fun songwriting, you know, style. And then also just personally, I love telling stories. So getting to do that through music it's difficult, but I just find it so much more fun to write like that. And to the ideas just flow so much better, I think. Yeah.
How do you feel like the band is evolving over the years? Because you mentioned you aren't a big fan of one of your earlier records, but I can tell you love this one, which is great, so you should. But how would you say the band is evolving and improving?
Yeah, I mean, we're changing as people. So the music changes, our influences change, and we're older, we're wiser, we're better at being in the studio and just kind of tossing out riffs that are unnecessary or just kind of fluff, that kind of thing. And yeah, we're just better. We're more focused, and we're kind of veterans now, I suppose you could say, of the whole process. So it just comes to us a little bit easier every time. And the band was, you know, a very different band in terms of members back then as well. And our influences were very different. So our first two records are very, very death metal-y, and they got a bit of, you know, deathcore kind of vibe to them because that's what we were listening to at the time. And our guitar player and principal songwriter was also a screamer and really good at it. So we we kind of shared that role. A lot of times it was just as much screaming on a song as there was singing. And he would write his own screams and everything. So our lyrics would always, you know, be working on them together. And just a completely different band. And then when he left, and we lost our bass player at the time as well, it was just Grant and Scott and I. And we were kind of like, what do we do? Do we want to go forward with this? And Andrew had just left his own project. So we were like, well, let's get Andrew in here and see what happens. And he just changed the sound completely because he's a power metal, trad metal kind of really poppy kind of songwriter. And the style just kind of shifted more towards that direction. And we were all on board for it. And we've just kind of been going down that road ever since. And but I think, you know, you don't want to write the same record over and over again. It's boring. And it's fun to play around. And who knows what we're going to be doing in 10 or 20 years. So I think that it's sometimes nice when there's a band out there that just writes the same record every time because you know what you're going to get. But it's also kind of boring because if I wanted that record from 2010, I'd go listen to that record from 2010.
Right.
You know, that's the one that I like. So yeah, we just try to kind of play around and not be, you know, stuck in boxes or put boundaries around ourselves as to what we should be writing. We're a power metal band, guys. You know, it's got to sound like this. It's just not like that for us.
Yeah, and that's such a good point because sometimes I do have bands that I like that I grew up with and they put out a new record and I'm like, oh, this is great. It sounds just like they did 20 years ago. Right. I love it. But then when I go to listen to that band, I don't listen to the new record. I listen to the stuff from 20 years ago.
Exactly.
Whereas if you're a band that's making something new, I've had that too, where I'm like, oh, this is kind of different. And then it ends up being in my rotation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I find that sometimes if a band puts out a new song and it's like, oh, that sounds just like the single from that record. I'll go back and I'll listen to that record because it just reminds me of that album, but it's not that album. It's like so close. It's like, I just want to listen to that, you know? So yeah, it's a funny thing.
So tell me about the first single, Green and Glass, and why you guys went with that one first to kind of present this album to the world.
Yeah, no, that was tough. Deciding on a first single is always a really hard time because you don't really know what to do. Do you come out with something super new and potentially have people go, oh, what's this? This doesn't sound like Unleash, or, you know, like, I don't know if I like this. Or do you come up with something that you've done a million times? And sure, like, you know, like we just said, you know, oh wow, it's another super fast double kick power metal song from Unleashed Actress. How exciting, you know? Do you kind of try and put something in the middle? And that's kind of what we went for, is something that had a little bit of a new sound, but still, you know, true to those power metal roots. But also, story-wise, it doesn't really give the whole story away. It's just kind of the moment when Fantoma walks into this beautiful biome and is kind of in awe of everything around her. So it doesn't say too much about what's going on and it doesn't give anything away. So we were kind of like, okay, this one's good. And when we were talking to Jacob, who did all the mixing and mastering, we were like, can you like send us back songs as you finish them? We're trying to figure out which one to do for our first single. And you know, we need to get going on filming the music videos. And he was like, yeah, sure, absolutely. And we went back. We were like, okay, we think Green and Glass is the one. And he's like, yes, absolutely. I think that's the one too. Cool. So we were like, oh, okay. Someone else agrees with us. Like, I think we made the right choice. So yeah, it was tough.
Which track on here are you most excited to perform live?
Probably Blood Empress. I think it's a much darker tone, I think. And I've always loved playing the songs live where I really feel like I can become the character that I've written about. And like Cleanse the Bloodlines was very much that for me from Apex, and The Wind That Shapes the Land was kind of that song for me from Abyss. So I think this is going to be that one, but who knows? I mean, I might be totally wrong and end up loving something else. So it's hard until you actually start jamming it together and get up on stage and see, you know, the dynamic and how things move before you really realize, like, oh man, that song is great to play live, kind of a thing. But I think it's going to be Blood Empress. So not too sure.
It has such a good name, too.
Oh, thank you.
You know, you can be like, Blood Empress.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't even know. It's like, you know, she's a machine, so she doesn't even bleed, but well, whatever, because she's covered in
it
blood,
works.
I guess.
AI yeah. Now, who knows? They'll probably bleed.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, exactly.
So you've been in music for a while now. I'm wondering, do you notice a difference in the number of women in metal music today versus when you started out?
Absolutely. Yes. In 2007, when the band started, it was, you know, symphonic music or death metal.
Sure.
There was like Angela Gossow in Arch Enemy. There was Sharon in Within Temptation. It was Floor in After Forever. And it was Nightwish. So that was really kind of the big four. It was like hard to find a female doing what I wanted to do, which was sing like power metal kind of stuff. And it was definitely slim pickings. But I mean, I'm sure they were out there. I just didn't know that they existed, you know. And so now it's everywhere. And that it's not just because there's more women. It's also that music is just more accessible in general. And you can search and find anything you want nowadays. And it's awesome. And constantly discovering new bands. And I love that. But yeah, back in the day, it was kind of what were the magazines telling you to listen to? And what was on the, you know, like the top 10 most downloaded songs on Napster, you know, that kind of thing. So it was difficult to find. So it definitely feels like there's more women out there. And I think it's great because there's a really long time there where if you were a female fronted band, that was what you were. You were a female fronted band. And everyone just made assumptions about the kind of music that you played the second they saw your promo photo, you know, with a girl in there. So it was difficult. And it was, yeah, it was a fight for a while there. And also people were kind of like, oh, cool, novelty, having a chick in the band. And it still feels like that sometimes. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, any bands in particular, but, you know, a band playing a kind of uninspired, been there, done that death metal or something goes for years with a guy fronting the band. And then they think, oh, well, let's put a girl in here. And then all of a sudden, you know, they blow up or whatever. So it's kind of like, it's too bad that it's this thing that people can use as a tool to have a girl in their band. And it's definitely not, you know, not going to be like that forever. And it's getting better, I think, for sure. But for a long time there, it was just like interviews and stuff, really, really dumb questions. Like, what's it like to be a female on tour? And it's like, what's it like to be a guy on tour? What? What do you mean? And like, why do you play, you know, why are you playing heavy metal? And it's like, because I love heavy metal. What's so weird about that? So anyways, yeah, it was kind of a tough time, but it's awesome out there now. I love it. I love that there's, and in all aspects, because for a long time there were just a vocalist. And then it's like, oh, and then now there's like chick drummers and now there's bass players and guitar players. And it's just like, yes, we have whole bands that are women. I love it.
That's so great. Have you ever been in a situation, I'm sure this has happened actually, where you're like touring and people think that you're like a girlfriend of the band member or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like back when I used to work, the merch booth was always a great time because it would be me sitting there and people would chat and stuff and be like, so what time does the band go on? I'd be like, I don't know, 30 minutes, that kind of thing. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You ever listened to them? Like, you ever heard them before? And it's like, yeah, I'm doing their merch, man. You know? And they're like, oh, okay, cool. And then you'd get up there and they'd be like, oh, okay, cool. You know, like, it's pretty funny. But yeah, not so much of that anymore.
You mentioned that when you first were wanting, you know, to do metal in 2007, that there weren't many female power metal bands out there. Have you ever gotten girls who say, wow, you know, I'm seeing you do what you are doing and I want to do that too, and kind of like get into the genre because of that?
Yeah, I've had a couple. Yeah, for sure. That said, you know, oh man, Brittany, you're like, you inspired me to sing power metal because it was, you know, it just, there was no one else really out there at the time. And, you know, mind you, they're Canadian bands. So it's kind of like, that always seems to be the way of things, right? You know a lot about the other bands that are going on in your country. And we all kind of know each other typical Canada, right? So yeah, there's been a few that are kind of like, yeah, absolutely, I wouldn't be up here if I hadn't heard.
That's so nice.
Know, seen your show when you guys came around or whatever. So yeah, it's awesome. It feels great. And just to know that I have done for someone what, you know, other local bands did for me was so long ago. It's just a really great feeling.
Are you a kitty fan? Because you mentioned Canada, and I just interviewed Morgan for this. And, you know, Kitty is a great Canadian metal band. So are you a kitty fan?
No, I haven't really listened to them too much. We definitely kind of would cross paths on tour in Canada back in the day. That was kind of the way it was. It was, you know, you would tour Canada and there'd be all the posters in the venue for all the other bands that were coming through. And it'd be like, oh, Kitty just played here 2 nights ago. Like, ah, cool.
Oh, yeah.
but it was never really kind of my style of music. But I did. Yeah, it was like, what? Seriously? Like, lady band. Nice. I love it. You know, it was just so rare. So it was awesome.
No, I guess they're more new metal. I mean, they're definitely a whole different kind of metal, you know, sound than you guys. But I can definitely see where you'd be playing similar venues and stuff.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like, there were some cities in these smaller areas where that was the only venue. That was the metal venue. So it was just kind of like, that's where you played every time.
That's great. So do you feel like there's more pressure on women in the industry to like look a certain way to be appealing for marketing? And how do you deal with that?
Yes, absolutely. I remember when we first started, we moved over to Vancouver because we were from the island before, which is definitely much smaller and more secluded, I suppose you could say, metal scene. So we were like, okay, let's move to Vancouver. Let's go to the big city. And let's try and do this thing. And we were trying to get on to like bigger shows. And one of the promoters was like, you guys just don't have it. And we were just like, what do you mean it? Like, what is it? And he was like, well, like, why do you just wear high tops and t-shirts on stage? And he said this to me. And I was just like, because it's comfortable. He's like, you need to have an image. He's like, you need to do a thing. He's like, and then you'll go somewhere. And I was just like, oh, okay. So I was like, well, I really love, like, I'm a history major. I love, like, whatever old school medieval style stuff. I was like, it's not like I can get up there in, like, a suit of armor. I was like, but I can wear some, like, leather stuff. And so I started just kind of leaning into the heavy metal side of things. And I don't think it made a difference. But I definitely felt that pressure that I was supposed to look a certain way in order to do what we do. And I've always been the kind of person that says, if you like us, that's great. If you don't, I don't care. So I've never like tried to change my appearance or anything for in particular, or like felt like I had to be like super fit or, but it's definitely that pressure there. It's kind of like, oh, well, I got to get in shape before tour. And that's not just because of, you know, singing, you know, is what I do is extremely difficult, but just, you don't want to be called out on YouTube for anything really up there. And it's always been that way for women, especially. You see a band with a guy that's fronting the band that's overweight and no one cares. You see a band with a female that's fronting and she's overweight and she gets torn apart. And I saw this a million times, especially in the early days. And so it's kind of just, but I think that humanity in general? You know, people just like to see beautiful people doing things, and it's just kind of the way that we are. It's terrible. And it would be really nice if it wasn't that way. But it's just kind of, everyone feels the pressure to kind of look a certain way or be fit or be physically attractive or whatever. And it's too bad because it's just like, who cares? Eventually everyone gets old, or I guess not in Hollywood anymore, my God. But, you know, and then it's about who you are as a person. It's about the legacy that you leave behind and the people that you impact emotionally and the people that you inspire. So it's frustrating. I've always kind of tried to say to myself, just be whatever you're comfortable with right now. And if that's someone that works out every day, awesome. And if it's someone that, you know, sits down with a bag of chips at night on the couch, that's fine too. You know, I just can't let that stuff get to you.
Yeah, no, and I think that no matter how beautiful someone is, they still get all those horrible hate comments these days. It just seems like I'll see, you know, musicians or famous people I follow, and I'm like, oh, you know, love this person, and they look great, they're beautiful. And then I'll see comments of people saying they're ugly and stuff. I'm like, who are you looking at? You know, it's just, it seems like it's a very vile type thing.
I mean, and the internet is just a horrible place in general right now. So you just can't even, you can't even take any of that into account. It's unfortunate, you know, that you can't, like, we put up a YouTube video and or anything really, and I just don't even look at the comments, because for all the people that are awesome song, I really loved this, or great job guys, there's people that are just like, chick shouldn't be in metal, or her voice sucks, or what is this crap, or you know what I mean, this music is trash. And it's just like, why would you go to a page and put that on there ever? What is going on in your life where you feel like that sort of negativity is what you're going to do today? You're going to just put that out there in the world. Why? I do not understand it. And I feel like sometimes just people just, they don't even like our music. You know, there's posts that are like, yep, typical shit music from Unleash the Archers. Exactly what I expected. It's like, then why are you here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What
if you knew you were going to hate it, and if you're going to come here with this idea that you already hated it before even listening to it, why put yourself through that? I just don't even understand. And then to say a negative comment like that, because you know these are human beings, right? These are people that are behind here. It's not some corporation creating a thing to give to you for entertainment. These are people that are putting their everything they have into it. And it's just like so many people out there, they just don't care. They absolutely want to see the world burn. And it's frustrating. And yeah, I feel like, you know, women kind of get it a lot, but it's everywhere. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't understand it either. I haven't spent too much time thinking about it, but I've tried to think about the psychology behind that, because, you know, I get the comments too. And I'm just like, I don't understand, you know, I just don't get, like, what kind of a rise they get out of that, or it must make them feel good for some reason. I don't know. It's all I can think of.
Yeah, I think it does somehow or some way. Or they're lonely and they want someone to reply, and they want to talk to someone. They just want someone to talk to them. And it's like, so, I don't know. Go outside. Go to a coffee shop. You know, find someone to talk to. I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty crappy. And that, like I said, I just don't even read the comments anymore, because I just, it's a terrible, terrible world out there most of the time. And I just try not to waste any energy on that at all.
Yeah, absolutely. You have more important things to do, like work your new album and get out there and tour. So what advice do you have for upcoming musicians, especially women or girls, you know, who are listening and want to get into music?
It's hard work. You gotta put in the time, and don't let anyone else do it for you. I think if you want to be in a band, start a band. If you want to tour, book a tour. If you want to write an album, write an album. Don't sit around and wait for it to happen to you. Don't think that, oh, we're going to put out this record and we're going to get signed to a label and everything's going to be great. No, labels aren't going to do what you need to do to get you there. So you got to do the work, got to save your money and have great recordings, great music videos, great merch. And yeah, and it takes time. So be patient. Just keep working away. Keep touring. Keep getting out there in front of everyone. Show them what you got, because that's the only way now. There's so much noise on, you know, in the digital world out there, so much music on Spotify, so many profiles to sift through, that you have to do the work. You can't just hope that you're going to get noticed. You have to be the one that tours the country every year and plays these venues every year. And the first show you're going to be playing at two people, and that sucks, but the next time it's going to be 20, and then 200, and then 2000. And yeah, just don't leave your fate in anyone else's hands.
That's great advice. Well, it's been so fun hanging out. Is there anything else you'd want to add? Thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Brittany, thanks for being an awesome guest on Beyond the Boys Club on Consequence. I love talking with her about just the craziness of online, because I think that anyone out there in the public, even people who aren't, just even everyday people, everyone kind of gets bombarded with that negativity. And that's why I love doing this, because I want a positive outlet to talk with other women in music and talk about their experiences and celebrate just the awesome person who they are, the awesome people that all of us are. So yeah, it was great talking about that. And of course, how she got into music. I always love to hear people's backstory and the new record. Check it out. It's available on May 10th. It's Ann Erickson. As always, it's awesome to be here with you. If you don't subscribe to the podcast yet, you're in the doghouse with me. Do it right now. Just search Beyond the Boys Club on Consequence wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, keep rocking.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.